Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
8 o'clock hour kicking off here on a Tolo Tuesday, as the announcer man said. Thank you for turning it on, leaving it on. That is what Tolo stands for here on your home of the Rangers and Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. But I'm having the most fun messing around with Dallas Mavericks off-season topics and ideas. And yesterday, it kind of just formulated in this hour as I was playing around with trading Kristaps Porzingis for Ben Simmons. A lot of the Tolos are absolutely split on the Autoflex eSeam fan text. And I wanted to see, because Ben Simmons, I think, is going to be traded and dealt. Doc Rivers yesterday said, we have a plan. We think we can fix the shooting. We had to really work on it hard in the offseason. Well, CBS Sports came out with best fits, different proposals for a team trading for, you know, a LeBron James-type talent with the Philadelphia 76ers. Are the Mavs on this list, and can we top these other offers? That is going to be a question as we go through these. But yesterday, after hearing some of the different feedback from the Tolos, you're like, no shot, no way that this ever happens, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Tolos thought process yesterday in the show was like, yeah, let's do the trade. After yesterday afternoon, last night, this morning, it is, we would not trade KP for Ben Simmons from a Mavericks perspective.
Yeah.
They would rather have KP. Okay, I mean, look, I understand. Like KP can at least score. You know, and he can shoot the three. And you know, if he gets hot, you know, he could put up big numbers in the game.
Yep.
I do think maybe a new system will be able to help him out. There was something wrong with how him and the rest of the offense played last year. Like, the year before, he had a good season. Like, let's not forget. He had a, considering, all things considered, that was his first year back from an ACL. He had a pretty good year last year. Something happened. I don't know what it was, but something changed. And he doesn't look interested half the time. He doesn't move around to get the ball. It's basically just, he's become a spot-up shooter. And it was clear he hated, and I mean hated, his role. Hated it.
Yeah. I mean, he's basically had the same two seasons here. His first year here, 20 points a game, 10 rebounds, 40.
And this year he was, what, 18?
And this year he was 20 and 9. First year here he shot 42%. Last year he shot 47% from the field. 35% from three first year. This past year, 37%. So the shooting numbers actually were better last year. He was 85% from the line last year, 80% the year before.
His playoffs were completely different, though. Like, he put up 34. He put up, in one game, he put up 20 in another game last year. And this year, I mean, if you got him to 20, it was like, thank God.
Yeah, he shriveled up.
Yeah. Now, he actually played this year in the postseason. Like, he actually showed up to the games. The year before, he only played in what? Three of them? Maybe? Yeah, it was three games in the postseason last year. In the bubble with the eight games prior to that, I mean, it was definitely, at least the angst against KP this year was way higher than it was year one.
Yes. Okay, so here are the different trade proposals. See if Porzingis for Simmons is a better offer and makes more sense for the teams involved. Number one, Portland. CJ McCollum, Robert Covington, for Ben Simmons. CJ McCollum is the main piece.
I don't do that if I'm Portland. I think CJ McCollum is fine. You know, Portland's problem, I mean, I don't know why, honestly, I don't know what Portland's problem is. They've got a good team. But they are the norm in the NBA.
They don't play defense. They're horrible defensively, so it can help them there. CJ averages, you know, 22, 23 a night.
It's fine. That's fine. Portland's problem is they play in the Western Conference. If Portland played, you can't change that, but if they were in the East, I mean, they're better than the Hawks.
If you are the Sixers, would you prefer CJ McCollum or Kristaps Porzingis?
Probably CJ.
Okay. I agree. Also, from a health factor, you're probably going to get more games out of McCollum. But would Portland do that deal? Would Portland say no to that deal? Ben Simmons thought to be a bigger name and star than CJ McCollum. So that's out there as the first suggestion from CBS. Minnesota, D'Angelo Russell, and Beasley for Simmons. D'Angelo Russell, one of these Andrew Wiggins type guys that you're, you know, waiting for them to break out or become something legit and real, but I don't want D'Angelo Russell for Ben Simmons if I'm Philly.
I don't either. Karl Towns a really good player. Okay, so think about this. If you have Embiid and Simmons can't score, and you have on the other team has Russell and Cat and can't win, do I really want D'Angelo Russell on my team? Do I really want him on my team? He's got another really good player with him, and they can't win a game. I'm out.
And by the way, the other player is Malik Beasley. I think that's the one who got involved with Scottie Pippen's ex. So Malik Beasley.
Yes, it was. Yeah, him and Larsa.
Malik Beasley and D'Angelo Russell. If I'm Philly, I'm saying no. Indiana, Brogdon and Warren for Simmons. This is what Bassett was talking about. Would Philly prefer some? Now, again, I want you all to compare this to if Porzingis was offered. All right. How would they compare? Who would Philly say yes or no to? Brogdon. Not that we're watching a ton of Pacers basketball.
Now, that's interesting. Interesting text here. Philly's a contender. Contenders don't do problem-for-problem trades. Contenders upgrade. That's an interesting facet.
Well, look, Ben Simmons is broken. All right, so unless they can fix him, they're gonna decline.
Somebody can fix him. They think that's why they're gonna trade for him.
Yeah.
Somebody thinks they can fix him out there, and he may be able to fix himself anyway. You never know. Like there's ways to do this. Seriously, like guys have issues all the time. Guys have down years. They have bad shooting. They go into spells. They get in their own head. I mean, it happens in every single sport. Sometimes you need to change the scenery. Sometimes you need to go on a retreat. You know, you go to Machu Picchu for all I care. Like, you know, just go out there and just hang out and relax and get away from it all.
Malcolm Brogdon is 28 years old. Again, playing for a team that nobody cares about. So I don't feel as comfortable talking about him as some of the other guys. But the Pacers were relying on him this past season. So he's thrown out there from CBS. Siakam for Simmons. What happened to Pascal Siakam's stock in Toronto?
Well, it's the same thing that happened at Toronto. They lost Kawhi Leonard.
Right.
Okay, they finished 12th in the East this year.
Siakam was like the original Bam Adebayo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the most improved, a breakout guy. So Siakam for Simmons. Is that enough to get back? Would you rather have Siakam or KP?
Well, I'd probably rather have Siakam.
See, the thing I like about this, even though, you know, a lot of these guys, again, you know, how many people know Malcolm Brogdon is averaging, you know, 20 points and his stats for the Pacers? I like these names that are brought up, though, because it's giving you a sense of realistic compensation. So when I get all these Mavs fans, oh, you trade Porzingis for something better than Ben Simmons. Oh, you gotta go ahead and get something back. Like, don't be unrealistic. Don't Michael Gallup this thing. Like, you don't overrate your own. So when you're seeing names like D'Angelo Russell, Brogdon, that could be where Ben Simmons trade value is as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then Chicago, LaVine for Simmons. I don't think Chicago would ever do that after the season that Zach LaVine just had. Stud.
Real quick, what about Siakam? These were his last 3 years, three-point shooting. 37, 36, 29. I mean, he was respectable.
Yeah.
And then he went under 30 this year.
Well, I don't think of him as a three-point shooter.
No, I was not. But, I mean, he was averaged like six attempts last year. You know, so he was shooting the three last season.
He's 21, 22 a night.
Yep. So I might take him over KP. He's obviously.
All I'm saying is this article coming out about Daryl Morey from The Ringer, he's targeting Dame and LaVine and Bradley Beal. I don't know if Ben Simmons can get you that back. Mm-mm. So they may have to settle lower KP-type level players, trading a problem for a problem. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. I do wonder, though.
Like, Ben Simmons ain't bringing back Bradley Beal or Dame Lillard or Zach LaVine. It's just not happening.
Well, him by himself, no. But no. He'd be centerpiece of the package. Like, Ben Simmons has got value in the league.
Ben Simmons can be a poor man's triple-double threat every night. Every night. While defending, which no one cares about.
Yeah, there's value there.
Yeah.
There's absolute value there. And now, will it bring back Bradley Beal? You know, probably not. If I'm the Wizards, I don't know how that fits. Like, who is he going to pass to? You would want to keep Bradley Beal if you're going to get Ben Simmons. But from Portland's standpoint, would it help Dame out at all? You know, would Ben Simmons help Dame out? Or if you get Dame, trade Dame, would it help CJ out? You know, I wouldn't do it if I was Portland. He's definitely not bringing back Dame. No way.
No way. So there you go with some of the different ideas. Just speculation. Compare that to what KP would bring back. And then again, the exercise is fun of finding other teams' problems. Who else has a problem? Who in this postseason choked or came up very, very short to where someone else could be available? Like Kyle Kuzma. I have no interest in Kyle Kuzma, but Kyle Kuzma, you know, they're done with him in LA. Is there another team that came up short? A problem for a problem. That is where KP's stock is right now. You got to stop with the unicorn stuff. 7-3 can do this and that. You got to lower the expectation. Same thing for Ben Simmons, which is why to me it makes a little bit of sense.
How about one guy here? Not here, but one guy I'm going to give you. He became a problem this year. There was a lot of angst with him this year. The great Tyler Hero.
Oh, Shooter. Man, he did have his stock fall.
Huge fall this year. He's never going to be a good defensive player, right? But he could. I mean, he may not be as – he's not going to be as bad as KP. That's for sure. But the current stock is that he couldn't make a leap that everybody hoped for.
Yeah, he shot 30% less from three. Now he's not going to handle the ball. Again, Cuban wants an extra ball handler around here. He wants someone to get the ball out of Luka's hands to give him a break so that he doesn't totally, completely exhaust him. So Tyler Hero is role player.
I'd love him. I would love him here.
Why? Because of the women he dates? Bringing them to the Metro?
No, I just think that's a fake last name that they came up with. Like, nobody's last name is Hero. And I just think that's really cool. And I would love to see it. But yeah, I mean, you know, also the women he dates is up. Cool too. He's a good shooter. Like, I think he would do well here.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Number 17, Elvis Andrews.
Big cheers for Elvis. Some are standing as he is introduced wearing the number 17. Elvis touches his helmet, points to the Ranger dugout, steps out, bangs the bat a few times off each shoe, and enjoys the moment. And now he has doffed his helmet and waved it to the crowd on the third base side and the first base side.
Nice applause, nice ovation, well-deserved, obviously, for Elvis Andrews. Yesterday, in his return to Arlington, the Rangers snap a six-game losing streak, and they beat the Athletics 8-3 right here on 105.3 The Fan. Jose and Andy Ibañez each hit three-run homers, and Kyle Gibson, again, this guy, he is putting together a case.
Oh, yeah.
He still has an ERA in the twos.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just been lights out since the opener against the Royals still.
Dude, if you take that game out, I mean, we are talking about having one of the best years in franchise history from an ERA standpoint. I mean, it's in the twos now. What was it? What would it be if he didn't give up five runs before an out?
Yeah.
You know, like that ERA, that first game just killed him. And this is one of the better seasons that we've seen. So it's great for him. I have a feeling that his starts are limited here.
Yeah.
We may only see him pitch five more times, if that.
15 straight starts without a losing decision, and he has given up more than two runs in a start only once since the opener. More than two runs only one time since the opener? That's crazy. The ERA is a 2.17, and he's 5-0.
Yeah, and he's in his mid-30s. So the reason, you know, and I agree. I know fans are going to say this, that, you know, like, you know, why would you just, I hate just giving away a player that gets good. I agree.
Not when he's 33.
Well, here's the thing.
And look how fluky this season is.
It's very fluky.
It's crazy fluky.
Yes, it's very fluky. So you give that away. Now, maybe there's a chance that he found himself. Okay.
Do you know what his career ERA is?
4.6.
4.4.
Look, if the Rangers, let's just say the Astros had Kyle Gibson and the Astros were in last place, I'm not going to trade Kyle Gibson on the Astros. You're a perennial contender who's having a bad year.
Yeah.
The Washington Nationals are one of the worst teams in the National League, or have been all year. Well, they've got Strasburg, they've got Scherzer, they've got Soto, they've got Schwarber, they've got good players. If I'm the Nationals and I had Kyle Gibson, I'm not trading him because I know I'm a contender as long as I have those guys at the top of the rotation. I may be having a bad year, but I don't care about that. If I'm the Rangers, though, who at minimum are 3 years away from competing for an 85-win season, I have no use for Kyle Gibson, who will be in his late 30s by the time I'm there. So let him go chase a ring. Let him go pitch in a meaningful game. And I don't think it's right for every team to do this. And if the Nationals were to do this and dump Strasburg and Sir, I'd be like, guys, that's bad. That's bad management. But if you're the Rangers,
yeah,
absolutely do it.
All right, everyone's starting to get checked now on the mound for substances. Yesterday, it happened with Jacob DeGrom. DeGrom has gone 12 straight starts, allowing a run or no runs earned. 12 straight.
Hmm.
He hasn't given up in a run in his last 30 innings.
Yikes.
So I was hoping that this substance check wasn't going to change things too dramatically. Darvish was money last night as well. But how are they checking it? The umpires checking things. And then what is this? The code being broken in Major League Baseball.
All right. So first off, and we'll start with the code. There's been like a decades long kind of gentleman's agreement among managers. Like, I'm not going to ask the umpire to check the pitcher, because I also know my guy's doing something. Let's just, you know, it's a dirty little secret. Now, when Michael Pineda had the pine tar all over his neck, and it was obvious, that's a little bit different than saying, hey, could you go check his glove? It's a little different.
Yeah.
Well, at least three teams have said that they are going to set aside that old agreement. If the manager of those teams receive information that seems suspicious, video capturing an opposing pitcher, maybe using it.
Who are the teams?
Oh, they did not announce the teams.
Okay.
But, or they see an unusual spike in spin rate during the game, they will ask the umpires to check opposing pitchers. Which, the hypocrisy here is not lost on me, and the irony. Whereas Major League Baseball and all the teams killed the Astros for using video to steal signs. But now teams will be using video to check to see if the pitchers are cheating and then relaying that to the manager in the middle of a game. That irony ain't lost on me. Okay. Trust me on that one. I see it. And, little respect there that's thrown in.
Do the Astros look more innocent by the month?
By the hour.
By the hour.
So, you know, what you're going to see is this gentleman's agreement, I think, becoming obsolete with most teams that may be willing to monitor opposing pitchers. A high-ranking talent evaluator explained his organization's perspective to Buster Olney of ESPN the other day. Said, we've been telling our pitchers that if they've been using to stop, we're looking to level the field. The whole sport's looking to level the field. We have an expectation our guys will honor this. If we get an indication there's someone pitching for the other team who might be doing something to gain an advantage, we will want our manager to challenge that. And that's why we need our guys to be clean. Staffers from two other organizations echoed similar sentiments. So long as there's a sport-wide devotion to level playing field, we are going to expect our opponents to live up to that rule, and we're going to call them out on it. Well, you know, this is also going to be interesting because for years and years, you basically had, like I said, ask the umpires to check something, unless the umpires saw something obvious.
Yeah.
Well, now, this started yesterday, between innings, after or before you come out of the game, anyone displaying suspicious behavior. What is that word?
I felt it coming.
What is that word?
Specific?
Suspicious.
Oh, suspicious.
I felt it, and then you went full stroke.
I did. Umpires will check gloves, hats, belts. They could look elsewhere. If a pitcher's found to be using a foreign substance, they'll be thrown out and suspended for 10 days.
Okay.
And spin rates have plummeted, Sean. We had a 10-day rolling MLB average of four-seam fastballs, and the spin rates reduced by about 60 revolutions per minute. Okay? And that is big because what that does is, you know, the gravitational drop of a ball That's what happens. Like the more the ball spins, the more the four-seamer spins, the higher it stays. It can maintain its level. You'll have more vertical drop if it's got lower spin on it. Well, the vertical drop is going to create more hits because the higher it stays is going to reduce strikeouts, and we've seen that. You know, we've seen that. The batting average has gone up like 30 points average around Major League Baseball over the 10-day span in June. We've seen home runs go up. We've seen hit batsmen not move. Stayed flat. It's good. Pitchers were saying they were going to lose control of the ball.
All right. In case you did not know, there is a chicken wing problem taking place.
Chicken wing, hot dog and bologna.
Chicken wing,
macaroni.
Chicken wing prices are going through the roof. So Wingstop, a place I know very, very well, they're now selling chicken thighs. That's what we're going to. Chicken wing prices have been going insane. So now they're going to start selling chicken thighs at Wingstop. The best piece of the bird. I mean, unless, you know, I'm talking about bigger pieces. You know? Are you having another stroke? Or are you staring at me because what I said was stupid? The thigh is the best piece.
The leg.
Well, the leg is the same meat as the thigh, but just smaller.
Whatever it is, the drum. The drum's the best one, right?
Oh my god! Wait, let's go through the anatomy of the chicken and see if RJ.
Whatever
knows
one that everybody eats when you go to order chicken wings at a restaurant.
When you go get fried chicken, what piece do you want? Wings are out.
Oh, I still want the leg, just because of the ease to eat.
You want the leg? You got the leg, the breast, or the thigh?
The breast, the white meat?
Yes.
Yes, that problem is.
It gets too dry.
It gets very, very dry.
It's too dry.
Very, very dry.
The thigh is, you know, bigger, juicy, but you want the ease of the
leg. Yeah, I'm an easy
drumstick.
Drumstick, baby.
So a turkey, so at Thanksgiving, you want the drumstick.
Yeah, but who does that? Like, don't you just cut, everybody cuts it all up?
Well, the drumstick, you know, a lot of times you leave that hole and you can have your white and your dark meat. I don't think you know.
I don't think you do
what
at all.
What you're eating. I don't know what I'm eating.
Wait.
I never asked. Like, you know, Sean's always talking about ingredients that are in this or what's in that. And I'm like, I have no idea.
Wait, Sean, do you suspect he doesn't know or do you?
You know, displaying suspicion. Oh. You know what? I hate you guys. I really do.
That was good. That felt like some of the teases back in the day.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to pull those up.
You got
to
get one of those teases.
Yeah.
So Wingstop is now cranking out thighs because of the chicken wing increase in terms of the money. You go and try to order a 12 or a 10-piece wing and look at the price. It's like over $1 per wing now. When you're sitting there ordering.
Gosh.
It's crazy. It's insane. Chicken.
The chicken shortage.
Chicken's supposed to be cheaper. All right. Who was Tom Brady cussing out? See if you can tell by this audio. History made. The first active NFL player announces that he is gay. And we have another hour to go. I almost pulled a choppy there with my tease. I'm not giving up. On my Mavs idea yet. But around the NFL with Tom Brady going after a mother blanker, next on The Fan.
Dirk's flu fever, LeBron's flame out, or what else X factor was it?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, let's go around the NFL here on your home of America's team. Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan. Biggest story in the league today, Raiders defensive lineman Carl Nassib, who has been in the league for a while, becomes the first active player to ever announce that they were gay. This is Nassib's announcement yesterday on social media.
What's up, people? I'm Carl Nassib. I'm at my house here in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Just want to take a quick moment to say that I'm gay. I've been meaning to do this for a while now, but I finally feel comfortable enough to get it off my chest. I really have the best life. I got the best family, friends, and job a guy could ask for. I'm a pretty private person, so I hope you guys know that I'm really not doing this for attention. I just think that representation and visibility are so important. I actually hope that like one day videos like this and the whole coming out process are just not necessary. But until then, you know, I'm going to do my best and do my part to cultivate a culture that's accepting, that's compassionate. And I'm going to start by donating $100,000 to the Trevor Project. They're an incredible organization. They're the number one suicide prevention service for LGBTQ youth in America. And they're truly doing incredible things. And I'm very excited to be a part of it, to help in any way that I can. And I'm really pumped to see what the future holds.
Good for him. 28 years old, joined the Raiders in 2020, 3-year, $25 million deal with $16 million, almost $17 guaranteed. He's been in the league since 2016 out of Penn State, so that is the number one story in the NFL right now.
You know, good for him. I can't imagine that's easy. And you know, we don't know really how the NFL locker room will deal with this. I suspect they'll be fine, that there's not going to be any issues. I suspect most will be supportive. But like a lot of things, this trickles down from your team leader. Talk about this in the NBA, Becky Hammon. If she goes to Portland, if Dame accepts her, the entire locker room is going to accept her. If Dame doesn't, then and he undermines her, then the entire locker room is going to undermine her. And
isn't it crazy how things have changed since like 5 years ago?
In terms of the acceptance of this?
Acceptance of this. You've gone backwards or not progressed in other forms, but in terms of this, different world. Totally different world for the better in terms of more acceptance.
Well, it's not just that, but I mean, look at when this happened with Michael Sam. When Michael Sam was drafting the NFL, I felt like the coverage of that was an onslaught.
Yes.
This has become more of a passing news story. It's still monumental.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are like, yeah, he's admitting he's gay.
And I did a bad job to start the show at 5:30 of kind of like summarizing that, where it's a good thing. Look, it's a story that should be mentioned, but I think it's a good thing that it's more in passing. Not that you don't care about it, but okay, this is something very, very common and, you know, not rare, something that should jump out and stand out or wow us or blow us away or create, you know, a back and forth debate, like, okay, like a black head coach getting hired. All right. That should be something that we don't stop down over and go, whoa, are you kidding me? That's what I was trying to say to start the show.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely right. And, you know, at some point this, you know, there won't be you won't have to put out a press release to announce that you're gay. You know, nobody cares. And I think, I mean, I think most people are already there where you don't care. It's like, okay, whatever. But yeah, with the black coaches, you know, like it becomes a point where step one was hiring a black coach. That was like Art Shubs years ago. Step two was not having it be a press release moment.
Yep.
Step three is now we're kind of towards the rehire. You regurgitate them. So, like, you get a retread coach, and now you have retread coaches that are black coaches. And then when you, the other one, I mean, and this is like, you know, like when a black coach loses their job, you know, it's no big deal. It's not like, oh, man, did he get fired because? No, it's just no big deal. He just lost a job. Like, that's kind of the progression of this. And now we're going to do the same thing with Becky Hammon. When Becky Hammon gets a job, if she gets a job, I think she will. But let's just say she gets the Portland job. You know, if she gets fired in 2 years, will they be like, well, did they give her enough time?
Right.
You know, and you'll progress to beyond that. To
and where, how long before the next one, if right. it doesn't go well.
And then you progress beyond that to where if in 30 years a woman gets fired after a year on the job, nobody will care how much time she got because she just got fired.
Yep. So Carl Nassib coming out while playing for the Raiders. That was the news that hit yesterday. Everyone is trying to figure out and play detective when Tom Brady went on the barber shop, the shop. And that is kind of LeBron's production as a bunch of different people sit around and shoot the S. And Brady was being asked, this is very short, but everyone is trying to figure out who he's talking about when Tom was talking about his free agent recruitment after leaving the Patriots.
One of the teams, they weren't interested at the very end. I was thinking, you're sticking with that mother...
Oh, who is that mother blanker that Tommy Boy is talking about? Everyone is looking at San Francisco with Jimmy Garoppolo. Tom, you know, made it known he was interested in the 49ers, grew up a San Fran fan. Joe Montana was his idol. So everyone is sitting there trying to say that Brady was insulting Jimmy G yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, look, it possibly could be, but I think it was Chicago. I think he was talking Chicago. I don't think there's any beef necessarily between Brady and Jimmy. I know they were playing the same team and Jimmy wanted his job, but Brady won. Brady's got no reason to have beef with Jimmy. Jimmy has reason to have beef with Brady. Brady's got reason to have beef with Nick Foles. Nick Foles kept a ring off his finger.
Mm.
Tom only cares about one thing. Tom don't care about Jimmy Garoppolo. The Lions don't concern themselves with sheep. He cares about Nick Foles. Nick Foles kept a ring off his finger. That's what he cares about. How are they going to keep that scrub there? How are they going to keep Mitch Trubisky there instead of me? I mean, what could Tom say at the time last year? Jimmy had just gone to a Super Bowl. What was he going to say? Right? San Fran was going to get rid of the quarterback that you went to a Super Bowl with. He was like 12th in the league in efficiency. They were going to get rid of him.
So you think he's talking about Foles and the Bears, not Jimmy and San Fran?
I think so. He also wanted Chicago. It was a team he wanted to go to as well.
Yeah, Chicago was on the list. Apparently the Chargers were on the list. Dan Patrick reported that. Why would he have wanted to go to Chicago?
As the Fantex points out, they are one Justin Fields hit away from being a true contender. They are a good team. They are a good team.
Are they?
Yeah. I mean, defense has been good. Good receivers. I mean, they're a good team.
Okay.
I mean, for crying out loud, they've gone to the playoffs with Mitch Trubisky.
I'm trying to think of whether the defense is still, like, elite as the Khalil Mack hype has worn off over the past year or two. But, yeah, the Bears, they always seem to, you know, be in that 8-8 range and getting in there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to give you their last.
Obviously, Allen Robinson, we all know, but.
These are their last three seasons. 12-4, 8-8, 8-8. With no quarterback play.
Yeah, with no quarterback play. Okay. Going to Chicago. Legendary franchise. Cold weather. He's used to that. So that's Tom Brady on the shop talking about the QB that a team he wanted to go to would not get rid of. RJ, of course, talks about this nonstop. Troy is now tweeting about it this morning. And on this day... moment to get you ready for the weekend.
Dude, I almost had you. You almost had me? You never had me. You never had your car. Granny shifting, not double clutching like you should. You're lucky that 100 shot of NOS didn't blow the welds on the intake. Almost had me?
Yeah, that's right, Sean.
That's right.
20 years ago, today, the Fast and the Furious opened in theaters. Now, there are certain movies that when they come out in the theater, you remember where you were. I remember where I was when I saw Kings of Comedy. I was at the Grand Theater, and it was the best theater of audience ever. I remember where I was when I saw Batman in 89. It was in Corpus Christi, Texas. I remember where I was when this movie came out. I was at the Tinseltown in Plano. And when the movie was over, everyone jumped into their four-cylinder vehicle and tried to drive off like they were Dominique Toretto. And RJ, this is where it all started for you.
Well, not quite. When this movie came out, I was like, man, what a bunch of D-bags are going to go watch this thing. And then I saw it. I was like, oh, this is awesome. Oh, this is amazing. Jeez. This is great. I was like, I couldn't get enough of this and Gone in 60 Seconds. Like those two movies. But this weekend, I've already got my tickets.
You do?
Friday and Saturday.
Whoa.
You're
going? Why would you go the next day after the first day?
Why not?
You got to look for Easter eggs on the second viewing.
Yeah. Does anyone else do this? You bought back-to-back tickets?
I never do back-to-back, but I do that. I like when I saw Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, I went to a second time so I could find the Easter eggs.
Yeah, just I'm going to take my kids one night, and I'm going to go with my group of friends on the other night.
Oh.
Let's go do that.
My group of friends.
Hey, by the way, I do have some trivia for you. Not really trivia, but some factoids. You know me. I like looking up these weird facts. And when it comes to the Fast and Furious, the movie that came out 20 years ago today, the part of Mia, played by Jordana Brewster, it was actually written for Eliza Dushku. She was the actress from True Lies and Buffy the Vampire. But now she turned down the role. And then Dominic Toretto, played by Vin Diesel, my doppelganger 20 years ago.
What friends are you going with Saturday?
I didn't even finish my sentence.
I thought it was the Vin Diesel comp.
A couple of dog walkers and such.
All right, why don't you say my girlfriend?
I'll talk about that. I got a friend. No, it's a friend of ours' birthday, so we're taking them out for their birthday.
To the movie?
To the movie. Yeah.
Dinner before?
No.
Jeez. No. Fast and the Furious 9 is the birthday. And the person's over 20?
She's like 30, 40. I don't know.
You do a phenomenal job of brainwashing your inner circle into doing all the things that you want.
Well, yeah. Why would I want to do anything they want to do?
It really is amazing.
This is my inner circle, not theirs.
It really is impressive. Sorry, Troy. I cut off the trivia.
No, that's okay. Dominic Toretto, played by Vin Diesel. That wasn't the original choice. Studio executives wanted it to be Colin Farrell.
Really?
Yeah. That would have been weird.
No, I couldn't have imagined that one.
Yeah.
No. Did you see the car, Sean, that was sold?
No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
With the intake?
Yeah. Paul Walker's a Supra. O'Connor's Supra. It sold over the weekend. $550,000.
Mm. I want to get my hands on Hector's three Honda Civics with spoon engines.
Are you just making up words?
No, he's not. I don't know.
I can't correct you.
Right after he went into Harry's and ordered three T66 turbos with NOS.
And then you drive off.
And then
off
you pull up into the garage every day with your dad's car.
Yeah, I got my dad's sedan.
You're like Ja Rule yelling at girls, Monica!
My gosh.
Ja Rule turning down part two, wanting too much money.
Friday and Saturday, back to back, an adult birthday party going there with no dinner beforehand, maybe some drinks after. Do you get drinks? Are you at least watching it? What theater are you going to?
The Cinepolis?
Not the AMC?
I don't know. I'm in charge of this.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.